Hey, everybody. Welcome to the relaunch of the Bipolar Way podcast, the podcast where we see everything the bipolar way. My name is Joe Sisk, and I'll be your host in this descent into madness that I call podcasting. Email me at bipolarway@yahoo.com. Definitely drop me a line if you have any advice, comments, complaints, bomb threats, whatever you want to. No, don't send me no threats. I don't need more threats. Anyway, just drop me a line if you'd like to hear anything. If you'd like to say anything to me, I guess I should say. Before we get started here, I guess we should explain what's going on. This is the official relaunch of the Bipolar Way podcast. Technically, it's episode 4, but we're going to be treating it basically as episode 1. So, we're going to be going from the top and taking it from there. This is going to be a podcast series about being bipolar in the world today and living with bipolar disorder and in the world and how we get through and talking about some of my personal experiences and the things I go through and you know, just kind of getting down and sharing some information here. I'm going to talk about things that coping skills and ideas that have come to me that helped me. I want to talk about, relate my own personal stories and experiences to you so that you know. I may not have advice for you necessarily on how to deal with the situation, but I also want you to be aware that you're not alone. So I want to share with you that, you know, there are lots of people that go through some of the pain and darkness that you're going through, and that even though it may seem like it at times, we're never alone. And there are people out there that get it and understand and are, you know, down with what you're going through, and we may not like it, but we understand it, you know. So I think there's a peace to be had in knowing that you're not the only one in the world cursed with this affliction, with the feelings that you have, with the weight that you carry sometimes. It's good to know that there are others out there that you can reach out to, people who understand you from a point of view of being bipolar and what that means. Because while bipolar disorder does not define us, it is something that we deal with. Just like if you have cancer or diabetes. Diabetes is a better example here. If you have diabetes, diabetes does not define you, but it does change how you view things. You view food differently. You have to view your eating habits in a different light and take considerations that other people don't have to take. That disease does not define you, but it does color you. It does change you to a point. And in this world, I believe that bipolar disorder does not define me. I am not bipolar. I have bipolar disorder. But that bipolar disorder has caused me certain views and certain perspectives that people who don't have bipolar disorder don't have or don't understand. So I wish to share those views and perspectives with you guys, not only for my own sake, so that I know that there are other people out there who also understand me, but also so that you may feel that somebody understands you too, if that's what I can do. I just basically want to reach out and help someone, just anyone. If it's just helping you think, you know, wow, there's, you know, I'm not alone, then that's enough. That's enough for me. Just one person saying, hey, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for letting me know that it's okay. Thank you for letting me know that other people exist that have a understanding of this. You know, thank you for, you know, just being, for trying to help. You know, that is enough, because that's my whole goal. I just want to help the bipolar community. I want to give back to the community. This is something that's been important to me. I used to host previously had a podcast called Bipolar Nation. Now, it's different from the Bipolar Nation that you find currently listed on iTunes. That's a different group of people. They're called Bipolar Nation Radio, I believe. But I had a Bipolar Nation that I ran for 60-something episodes, starting back in 2006 or 7 throughout a couple years ago. And a couple years ago, I decided to step away from the mic for a little while and just kind of let things settle down, see how the world was going, and kind of restricted myself down to some other projects that I was doing. And now that I come back looking around the other day, I'm noticing there's not a whole lot of voices going out in the bipolar community. There are some, and there are many that are working hard, but there's not a whole lot. So I felt like it's important for me to add my voice again, because I feel like, you know, I still need to give to the community. I still need to give back to people. And that's I am a Christian, and I do believe in helping people. And I believe that this is something that I can do to help others, is to, you know, reach out with my voice and use my, I wouldn't call it, I don't have a talent, I don't have a good voice, I'm not a very good radio speaker, I'm not a good podcaster. But I am a guy who's got the tenacity to go ahead and say, I'm going to do these podcasts just to help someone else, you know, even if it is not slick in production and high in production values, and if I don't, you know, and I don't sound like James Earl Jones or, you know, anything like that, I'm still going to put that out there for you guys just because sometimes it's nice just to hear a voice in the darkness. And I want that voice to be out there. And I don't want anybody to go thinking that they're alone. I don't want anybody going and thinking that there's not hope. Because there's always hope, my friends. And if maybe you don't have bipolar disorder yourself. Maybe you're somebody who's trying to help understand somebody with bipolar disorder. Maybe you have a loved one that's bipolar. You know, that's fine, too. Maybe I can help you understand. Maybe I can articulate for you things that the person you deal with, your loved one, isn't able to articulate to you directly. You know, I know sometimes I can talk to you guys on this microphone, like I have in the past with the other podcast, and say things that make the situation makes sense that I can't say in person to the loved ones around me. That it's just, you know, something happens, something is the way it is, and I'm not able to express myself sufficiently to those around me. But I can talk to somebody, like I consider you all my friends, and I can talk to you guys, like, you know, honestly, and I can be revealing and be open and being heartfelt and not have to worry about judgments and rejection on the spot and things like that. And so I found that it helps sometimes, you know, to try to reach out. So that's definitely my goal here. So if you want to be, if you want to hang around with me, and we're going to go down, like I said, some dark roads. We're going to talk about some places. We're going to talk about things that I've done. We're going to talk about things that I've learned that can help. Now, everything I'm talking about, I'm not talking about from a medical point of view. I am not a medical professional. I am not a doctor. I am not a mental health professional. I am not a social worker. I'm a man with a mic, okay? Now, the first thing we need to understand is that I am just a guy with a mic who wants to talk to you like friends talk. And that's how I present this, in love and friendship to you guys, okay? I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm not telling you not to follow your doctor's orders, okay? Always follow your doctor's orders. Check in with your doctor before you do anything different. Everything I give to you is just personal relations of things that have helped me. Your results may vary, and I am no way endorsing any kind of medical treatment or blah, blah, blah. You get it. Disclaimer, I ain't a doctor. That's basically all I'm trying to say. I'm not a doctor. Don't do anything I say over a doctor's care. Make sure you see a doctor. Make sure you take your meds, people. Taking your meds and treatment compliance is one of the most important parts of dealing with bipolar disorder. And believe me, I'm the world's worst. I kid you not, I am the world's worst about treatment compliance, especially meds. It is difficult sometimes to take those stupid little pills every single day, but we need to do it. All right, before we get into all that, though, let's go ahead and take it from the top and talk about what bipolar disorder is. You know, we've already gone into a lot of stuff. Let's go ahead and talk about what it is. Bipolar disorder, also known as manic depressive illness, is a brain disorder that causes unusual shifts in mood, energy, activity levels, and the ability to carry out day-to-day tasks. Symptoms of bipolar disorder are severe. They are different from the normal ups and downs that everyone goes through from time to time. Bipolar disorder symptoms can result in damaged relationships, poor job or school performance, and even suicide. But bipolar disorder can be treated, and people with this illness can lead full and productive lives. Bipolar disorder often develops in the person's late teens or early adult years. At least half of all cases start before the age of 25. Some people have their first symptoms during childhood, while others may develop symptoms late in life. Bipolar disorder is not easy to spot when it starts. The symptoms may seem like separate problems, not recognized as a larger problem. Some people suffer for years before they're properly diagnosed. Like diabetes or heart disease, bipolar disorder is a long-term illness and must be carefully managed throughout a person's life. Okay, that's coming from NAMI, the National Institute of Mental Health. Excuse me, I guess that would be NIM instead of NAMI, but NIM.NIH.gov. Okay, so that is what their designation of bipolar disorder is. Understand that bipolar disorder is not just a mental thing. It is a medical issue, but it's also beyond a medical issue too. It is something that needs to be approached as a from a medical point of view, but also needs to be approached from a psychological point of view for most people. Taking medications is fine and good and definitely for your treatment plan, just like I just said. But oftentimes, if you include psychotherapy or any other forms of therapy, talk therapy, cognitive behavior changes, things like treatment, stuff like that, you get better results. So that's definitely a thing. But bipolar disorder is unusual shifts. I try to explain it like bipolar disorder is where your range of emotions is so much greater than everyone else's. To me, it's like everybody's watching a 13-inch color, 13-inch black and white TV, and that's their emotional range. It's this 13-inch TV. My emotional range is a 75-inch liquid plasma TV. I have so much more depth and range, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's really, really bad. Okay, but I'm all over the place. Anyway, yes, everybody has up and downs. Emotions are something that humans have, and that's okay, because we're supposed to have them. But bipolar disorder people deal with emotions on a level beyond what normal people deal with. We deal with emotions that are severe. We deal with the ups and downs that cause us to have poor performances in our lives, that can lead us to end our lives, can damage relationships, can just really wreck our world. So we're dealing with a range of something that is much, much more intense. It's like music. Say, a little quiet to a little loud is like a normal person. Well, we go from complete silence all the way up to ear-bustingly loud at levels. So we have this greater range, and at the greater ranges, either you hear nothing and you don't hear, the song is completely missed, or the song is blaring so loud that it causes your ear to bleed. You have negative consequences from the extreme emotions come on. But that is what a lot of what bipolar disorder is. This severe shifts in mood, energy, and activity levels. It's not just moods. Energy and activity levels are also affected. Believe me, when you're depressed and down, sometimes you just ain't got the energy in you. It is literally just like, I can't do it. I'm just as wiped out as if I've been running marathons all day long or some other strenuous task that has left me completely energyless. It's like a car without gas. Sometimes we can get there, and that can be an effect of the bipolar disorder. Let's talk about some myths and facts about bipolar disorder. It's a myth to say that people with bipolar disorder can't get better or lead normal lives. In fact, many people with bipolar disorder have successful careers. I'm going to talk about that here in a little while. Happy lives, family lives, satisfying relationships. But living with bipolar disorder can be challenging, but with treatment and coping skills and a solid support system, you can live fully while managing your symptoms. And that is definitely our goal, is to live fully while managing symptoms. The myth is people with bipolar disorder swing back and forth between mania and depression. Some people alternate between extreme episodes of mania and depression. Yes, that does happen for some people. But most are depressed more often than they are manic. Mania may also be so mild that it goes unrecognized or is not needed to be treated. Being a little up is not always necessarily a bad thing. People with bipolar disorder can also go for long stretches without symptoms at all. You can have people who are bipolar who are normal for stretches of time. It's not unheard of. The myth is bipolar disorder affects only mood. It doesn't. It affects energy level, judgment, memory, concentration, appetite, sleeping patterns, sex drive, and self-esteem. Additionally, bipolar disorder has been linked to anxiety, substance abuse, and health problems such as diabetes, heart disease, migraines, and high blood pressure, which are all related. A lot of those are related to stress, and bipolar disorder can bring on the stress. Isn't that the truth? The myth is, aside from taking medication, there's nothing you can do to control bipolar disorder. Now, while medication is the foundation of treatment, therapy and self-help strategies also play important roles. You can help control your symptoms by exercising regularly, getting enough sleep, eating right, monitoring your moods, keeping up with yourself, keeping stress down to as much as the minimum as possible, and surrounding yourself with supportive people and positive situations. So you can definitely do that. So those are some of the myths. Let's get some more myths. Let me click over here. People with bipolar disorder do not have a real illness. Oh man, this is a head beating against the wall thing, right? Bipolar disorder is highly treatable, but cyclical. It runs in cycles. I can't say that word today. It can be controlled, but it is a real thing. Okay? Bipolar disorder is a chronic, real illness like congestive heart failure or diabetes, and patients sometimes have to be hospitalized. It's not something we make up. It is not all in our heads. It's not fake. We're not looking for sympathy. We're not out there fishing for compliments. We're not saying, woe is me. We're just telling you how things are. You know, we have to deal with the life that we're given, and the life we're given includes these symptoms. We can't help that. Believe me, if I could wish it away, I would have a million times already. So this whole idea, oh, it's not real, that is just, it's infuriating and insulting to bipolar people. Because it's like saying, you know, oh, well, diabetes isn't real, or fibromyalgia isn't real, or, you know, any other disease isn't real, which, you know, our disorder diseases isn't real, which, you know, in fact, they are. And to indicate anything different is ignorance and hurt, you know, and like I said, it's being ignorant, and it hurts, and it's hurtful for us. Because believe me, if we could pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, we would have all done it. And how many times have people like us heard, oh, you need to just get over yourself? If you're anything like me, you've heard that so many times you're sick of it. I've been trying to get over myself. It's not about that. It's not like I can just do this. It's not like I can just think happy thoughts and make it all go away. You know, if it was that easy, we'd do it already. There wouldn't be no such thing as bipolar disorder because we would have all wished it away a long time ago. We would have pulled up our own bootstraps a long time ago. Okay, so understand that, yes, this is a real thing. This is real, and it has a serious and real effect on us, and even a physical effect on us with our, like I said, the lack of energy, the ability to function. It has a serious impact on our lives, and to deny it is just foolishness. All right, the next myth is, once you're diagnosed with bipolar disorder, your life as you've known it is over, and you'll never be able to achieve your goals. Well, that, of course, is bunk, too, because you can get treated, and if you stay in treatment and work with a good doctor and work with a good mental health, you know, team or whatever, you know, however you your treatment is affected by the professionals in your life, you get that in a strong support system with friends and family that support and believe in you, you can do pretty much anything. It is easy to be knocked down by bipolar, and it is hard to climb up sometimes, but you can climb up. You don't have to have your life taken over by mental illness. You're still a person with hopes and dreams, and you can get those. Bipolar disorder has a very high recovery rate if you're proactive about managing your illness. This is by Larry Fricks, the Vice President of Peer Services for the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance. So, you know, we are capable of achieving our goals if we are proactive in our treatment, if we take the time to communicate with our doctors what's going on with us, and prepare for the situations that we know are going to arise. You know, when you start feeling a manic episode coming on, you need to deal with that appropriately. If you do that, and you do that with all your symptoms, and you stay proactive about staying on top of your health and keeping yourself healthy, both physically and mentally, then a lot of times you can be just as accomplished as any other person in society. All right, next myth is, people with bipolar disorder cannot keep a job or serve in positions of authority. I know people that are bipolar that I've met in the community in the years that I've been, chatting in the internet bipolar community and doing podcasts that, they are absolutely able to hold down jobs and meet all and have satisfying careers in the fields that they choose and do the things they want to do. It is absolutely, totally doable. If your bipolar disorder is controlled, your job performance does not have to be affected by it. A lot of people with bipolar disorder hold high-functioning jobs. We have doctors and lawyers and scientists and engineers. But managing bipolar disorder with medication and positive lifestyle habits is important. And that was what produces stability that gives you the ability to go ahead and chase the jobs that you want to have and do the things you want to do. The myth is bipolar disorder defines who you are. No, it doesn't. It is a part of you in a way, and it does affect you, but it is not you. You are still you. You just have to understand that you have to live your life with, you know, this particular situation, but that situation doesn't rule you. It doesn't mean, you know, that you're absolutely locked into any certain pattern or any certain fate. You don't have to let it overcome you. It's not like that at all. It's like a woman said in a mental health advocate that wrote a book called Bipolar and Pregnant said, just as my neighbor, next door neighbor may have cancer but won't say I am cancer, I think it's important not to define yourself by the condition. You wouldn't say I am cancer, you would say I have cancer. We are not bipolar as in, and I'm sure I'm going to be guilty of saying I am bipolar many times in this podcast over the time that we do it, but my point is not that I am bipolar as in that it defines me. I am bipolar, it affects me, but I affect it, you know, by treating it and taking care of myself and doing the things that I do. So it does not define me. I define it more than anything else. It does not control me. The myth is, if someone has bipolar disorder, all their moods are a product of the disorder. That's not true. Humans have moods and feelings. You know, some people think any misspoken word or perceived misdeed is blamed on the fact that the person has bipolar disorder. That's not how we treat people. And if you're a loved one of a bipolar person listening in, do not go there, okay? Do not go there. If you do something that hurts somebody's feelings and they happen to be a person suffering from bipolar disorder, it isn't the bipolar disorder that's getting you in trouble. It's your own carelessness or your own insensitivity. You can still, we're normal people. I mean, we're still people. We may not be completely normal, which is not necessarily a bad thing necessarily. But the point is that if you're a jerk to somebody, if they have bipolar disorder or not, doesn't really matter that they're going to be upset, right? If you be a jerk to me, I'm going to be mad at you. And my being bipolar has nothing to do with the whole situation. It was the jerkiness that has to do with it. So you can't say, oh, you're only mad because you're bipolar. No. No, 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 no. That is just no. That is wrong. And usually when you do that, it hurts our feelings. Now, I might be madder than usual at you because I'm bipolar, because my emotions, when they trigger, can trigger a lot stronger than other people's emotions. But that does not mean that I don't have the right kind of thing. It's not like, oh, well, you know, if you were normal, you'd be fine with it. Well, that's just, oh, that's the worst thing you can say, I think. Maybe it's just me, but that is something that, oh, it just drives me nuts when I hear it. When people go, oh, you know, if you wasn't bipolar, you wouldn't really care about that, and it wouldn't be such a big deal, and you'd let it go, and it was a joke, or, you know, or you shouldn't be reacted that way. If you were normal, you wouldn't be mad. If you were normal, it wouldn't hurt your feelings. No, if I was normal, it'd still hurt my feelings. I just may not be as vocal about it necessarily or whatever, but it still would have been there. Don't blame your bad behavior on my disorder kind of thing. And a lot of people will do that. You know, and they'll say, oh, well, I'm not allowed to have a bad day. And then they walk around on eggshells around you. And there ain't nothing worse than people walking around on eggshells around you and then you finding out about it. Because you feel so bad because you're like, I'm not. Because then they make you feel bad. You know, like you're the monster. Like you're the pain and that you need to be removed. And it brings on all kinds of bad feelings. And, yeah, one of these days we'll get into that particular issue by itself a little closer. Let's go ahead and move on for now. Everybody who has bipolar disorder has wide mood swings going from very depressed to super manic. And this is a myth. The range of mood symptoms does exist. Some people do go, they go and they go big. I have a tendency to go pretty big myself. But not all people living with bipolar disorder experience the illness that way. Some people have predominantly depressive episodes with very few or very mild symptoms of mania. Some people can have bipolar disorder symptoms for 10 to 12 years before they're diagnosed because the symptoms of mania are not prominent and therefore are missed. So you don't have to be like super up there and super down there. You don't have to be, you know, hitting the very end of the range every time, you know, most manic, most depressed. You know, you might be really depressed and just a little manic for a while, then back to really depressed, or just a little depressed, and, you know, you understand, whatever combination you want to go to, you're unique, and each person has a unique response system, and, yeah, some of us go big, but some of us don't, and that needs to be understood, so you can't just, it's not just one of these crazy, woo, all over the place kind of things. The final myth I want to talk about here real quick is once you're feeling better that you can stop your medications. No, people, do not ever stop your medications without the advice of your psychiatrist, doctor, or mental health professional. Never, 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 never. That just makes it worse. Trust me. Been there, done that more times than I can count. You get to feeling good, and you think, oh, I don't need these stupid pills anymore. You throw them away, and next thing you know, everything's in the gutter again. Well, duh, it's because what was helping you is something you took out of your life. And if you take it out of your life, it ain't going to do you no more good, now is it? So we definitely need to make sure that we stay in compliance with treatment orders. Alright, let's go ahead and let's look at a few more myths real quick. These are kind of interesting. I want to look over. People can fight bipolar disorder or mood disorders if they try hard enough. Like I said in the back there when we were starting all this, this is about the myths. Yeah, it's not a pull yourself up by the bootstrap kind of thing. It is a stigma that has dogged mental illness for centuries, and it often prevents people from getting the help they so desperately need. Another myth is a medication will stop my creativity and turn me into a zombie. It has been my experience, and this is not necessarily true for everybody, but it's been my experiences that most bipolar people are extremely creative. And maybe I've just been, you know, sheltered in my exposure to bipolar people. I don't know anybody, maybe one undiagnosed person in my real life that's bipolar. Everybody else I've known through internet communities, message boards, chat rooms, Facebook groups, things like that, that were bipolar. But all the people that I've talked to online are always, you know, a lot of them are very creative. So I think creativity is something that seems to go, maybe not necessarily hand in hand with bipolar disorder, but seems to be a common found feature among those that suffer from the disorder. If it's by chance or whatever, it just seems like that's how it pops up. But medication is not like it used to be. We don't lobotomize people, all that. We don't medicate people into being zombies. Yeah, you can over-medicate and get to that zombie state and lose a lot of your creativity and a lot of things. But that's not a desirable treatment. That's not a desirable goal. And a good doctor and a good psychiatrist will work with you to make sure that you're not in this state of zombiness. And, you know, completely just shuffling through life without a care, you know, without any concerns, and it's sort of haze. You know, so you don't want to get there, you don't want to go there, and that's not where the doctor wants you to go either. They want to help you be you, but function better. Okay, that's the goal of treatment, to be you, but the best you you can be. Okay, the you that doesn't have to be crippled by, you know, the severity of the symptoms of bipolar disorder. So we want to definitely make sure that we report to our doctors if we start getting that zombie feeling from medication. So it's not all about zombieing you out. It's about finding a drug or a combination of drugs that provides relief without changing your personality. And there's a lot of pharmaceutical options out there right now. And you should be in communication with your mental health care professional about any and all side effects that make you uncomfortable. Tell them everything. If you don't like how something's doing you, if you're not real fond of it, tell them. Say, I don't like this. Change it. And a good doctor and a good psychiatrist, good mental health professional will listen to you. And if they don't listen to it, maybe you need to think about finding a new place to go, because you need to be active in your treatment as well. It should be a group effort, everybody involved, you know, social workers, psychiatric nurses if applicable. You know, it should be a group effort. So definitely don't let them take your personality away. Don't go into zombie land, okay? All right, so let's definitely stay away from that. A myth is all mental health professionals are alike and they all want to dope you up. Okay, the truth is you're a manager of your own mental health care. No matter who you seek for treatment, you should never accept a course of treatment that you feel strongly against. And that's, but the only exception being, of course, is if you're in a psychotic state and you need to help making your own decisions. If you're in a situation where you need to join the 5150 club, you know, that club where they involuntarily commit you for 3 days, you might not be in the best state of mind to make decisions about your healthcare situation. But in normal situations, when you're not having a really bad day, you know, you need to be the manager of your own mental health care. A psychiatrist is a medical doctor who completes specialty training in psychiatry.
Okay.
He prescribes medication and suggests tests or treatment that may involve a medical hospital or clinic. So, you know, they're going to be working with medications because that's their field of specialty. That's where they've trained. You know, a psychologist is usually, advanced degree in advanced healthcare professional and up to 7 years of study, internship. They usually work with the diagnosis and treatment of mental disorders, whereas the counseling psychologist helps cope with life issues, career crises, divorce, parenthood. Neither type of psychologist is a medical doctor. Now, a clinical social worker, which is something that if possible you should have, and a lot of systems I know nowadays deal with, they have to meet a lot of training requirements set by the state, and they can help you a lot with coping skills and things like that. So what you need to do is you need to find the people that have the desire to help you achieve the best possible mental health you can have. If your doctor, if your psychiatrist is, you know, you think all they're trying to do is drug you up, well, his job is to prescribe medication, watch for side effects, and deal with side effects and medical, changes in you as in response to the medications he has given you. That is part of pretty much his job. You know, nowadays you see the psychiatrist mainly for the medical issues, for the medication issues, and then you see a social worker or a psychologist for more psychological or psychotherapy treatment options that include like behavioral skills, cognitive therapies, learning basically how to cope without taking a pill. So that's really how you should look at your treatment. That's the best way to be treated, is to go to somebody who wants to take care of your medical needs, your medication needs, and make sure everything's okay physically with the medication you're on. And then go to somebody who's going to teach you how to live with being bipolar and how to cope with being bipolar and how to handle the things that are, you know, part of your life. You know, emotions are not something we're trying to get rid of here, folks. We need emotions because that's part of the human experience. What you need to do is get your symptoms back to where you're normal, working in a normal range. You need to turn down the volume on that big old speaker of yours in your brain until it's, you know, a little quiet to a little loud. But you need to understand that you need to cope sometimes. The music gets loud in life. That's how it works. Bad times come for all of us. Everybody has hard days, no matter how bipolar or not bipolar they are. So we need to understand how to handle those days and handle the quiet days too, you know, and just live our life without it causing us the undue strain of triggering a psychotic episode, a manic episode, or a depressive episode. You know, we need to learn how to cope. So that is the best way to go for a treatment, I think, is to include psychotherapy or cognitive therapy or talking to somebody. But like I said, basically learning how to live and how to cope and, you know, just getting it out off your chest sometimes and just, you know, learning skills and understanding yourself and all that along with medication and medical treatment. So that's definitely what I think. Let's talk about something a little fun before we wrap up and close out of this first episode and I get this thing thrown up and y'all tell me how crappy I am. let's look at a list of famous people that have been bipolar. This bipolar disorder is everywhere, and here's proof that you can do great things even while you're bipolar and that you know where you are limited. You know, you can have the career or, you know, do what you want here because there are a lot of people that made it, right? Russell Brand is bipolar. Kurt Cobain was bipolar. Now, his had a very sad ending to it. But he was bipolar. Rosemary Clooney's was reportedly bipolar. DMX, now that was a new one for me. I did not know DMX was bipolar. That explains a lot about him, though. I mean, to be honest with you, he's a little bit, yeah, he's kind of crazy. So, you know, that's another myth about bipolar disorder. We're not crazy. Now, we can say the word crazy thing, but we're not crazy. It's not meant as that kind of expression. We're not insane, folks. We're just emotional, okay, you know? We're just dealing with a range of emotions that's a little bit greater than the norm that causes us stress and anxiety and causes us to, respond in emotional ways. And, you know, we have these mood swings we got to cope with. We got the energy level that comes with the mood swings, either too much or too little. We have activity, either doing too much stuff or not doing enough stuff. We just have to deal with all this stuff. But we're not crazy. Nothing crazy about us. Robert Downey Jr. is also listed as being bipolar. Richard Dreyfuss, Carrie Fisher, and I am the biggest Star Wars fan you've ever seen. So I, of course, knew this one, but it kind of makes sense with her, too. You know, she's bipolar, and let's see, it said Mel Gibson might be. I don't know if we want to claim him sometimes, because he gets a little ranty every now and then. But, I mean, if he is, he is, I guess. Linda Hamilton, you know, is diagnosed at the age of 40. Ernest Hemingway, I believe, they think is bipolar. Let's see, and Demi Lovato is, in April 2011, revealed her illness. She had a lot of trouble here lately. She's one of these new Disney stars, or young people, you know, up and coming, I guess you could say. And so that's you know, it's really good to see her have a diagnosis now, because she was self-medicating terribly from the way it sounded in all the gossip magazines. I'm glad that she has a diagnosis, because then she can start finding the help she needs, because a lot of people who are bipolar do self-medicate and drink and do drugs and things like that. And it's a lot of times, that's another myth, that drugs cause bipolar necessarily. It's not, I don't know if that's necessarily completely untrue. I've never heard of a case where it happened, but I will tell you that bipolar people will take drugs. You know, and drugs may not cause bipolar, but bipolar people take drugs sometimes. You get some bipolar people that don't know they're bipolar. They don't understand what's going on with them. They're under this intense emotional pressure and under this intense moods, and that can lead to self-medication and attempting to find a release through abusing substances, drinking, alcohol, drugs, things like that. Definitely real common among people that I think suffer from bipolar disorder, and especially those that aren't diagnosed or don't understand how to get diagnosed. Self-medication is rampant, and it is dangerous, and it is something we need to try to stop, because it's it's killing people. It really is. It's killing people, and a lot of these people that are self-medicating are trying to find an answer, and the answer is not in the needle or at the bottom of the bottle. The answer is in a comprehensive treatment plan. All right, let's see, who else is, let's see, Friedrich Nietzsche was supposedly bipolar, or was believed to possibly have been bipolar. Sinead O'Connor, Craig Owens, Jane Pauley, she's quite famous for being bipolar. They believe Edgar Allan Poe may have been bipolar. Charlie Pride, the country music artist, is bipolar. Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses, that's a good one. That may explain, he acted like he was manic there for about, I don't know what, 10 years, and or about 7 years in the 90s, something like that. Frank Sinatra. Let's see here, anybody interesting here besides all that? Jean-Claude Van Damme is bipolar, it seems. Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Amy Winehouse, the late Amy Winehouse, that makes a lot of sense. She looked like a self-medicator. I always kind of figured she was bipolar because of the whole self-medication thing. And Catherine Zeta-Jones, which has been famously listed as bipolar here lately. She had that whole bubba with her husband and stuff over there doing the whole that whole tabloid incident with her bipolar coming out and it being just a mess. Jim Carrey is like the face of mania, is he not? I mean, the whole goofy acting, running around all over the place, excessive energy, his ability to act out like that, to me, I feel like Jim Carrey when I get manic sometimes, you know. Let's see here, anybody else interesting? I think maybe Abraham Lincoln might have been as well, so that is definitely interesting. Britney Spears. The whole Britney thing. I even did an episode of Bipolar Nation back then about Britney Spears and her head shaving incident, because I do my head shaving thing myself. I keep my hair really short. But, I mean, just everything she did just screamed bipolar. I mean, just screamed it. So I was, like, totally not surprised at all whenever she went to the 5150 Club and Dr. Phil went out to talk to her and do whatever he did or whatever Dr. Phil does. I don't know. You know, so, I mean, her showing up on that as a possible bipolar sufferer was definitely not a, not a big surprise for me. So anyway, like I said, this podcast is mainly meant to be, to reach out a voice in the darkness to let you guys know you're not alone. We're going to talk about things that I go through, situations that I deal with, and I want to give my story out there so you guys can understand. If you have a story you'd like to share with me, email me, bipolarway@yahoo.com. If you don't want the story to be related on the podcast, please tell me. If you email me and don't say anything, I may just go ahead and read it out in the next podcast and talk about it some, because, you know, if you want to share, then I definitely want to help you share. So if you don't want that, if you want to just be a personal communication, please be sure to note that. If you are interested in my podcasting at all, I do happen to run another podcast and have for a very long time. I am the host of the Smart Faith Podcast. I think it's smartfaith.podomatic.com. That is a Christian podcast where I discuss Christian subjects. We don't talk about bipolar. We talk about Jesus and God and religious ideas and things like that. So if you want to check that out, you can search for that on iTunes and all that. I do thank you all for listening, and I do wish you all very much peace and stability. And until next time, take care of yourselves.